All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Blueberry Lounge's Bungie Breakdown. I'm your host, Moira, and it's been a little while. There hasn't been an episode for these past couple weeks. If you're in the Discord, you'll have seen the announcement. I've been kind of busy just getting the recent school semester wrapped up, but that's over. I'm home now, and I have all the time to talk about all the goodness that Bungie has been currently feeding us over these past weeks. So there's three blog articles to cover this week, one from April 25th, the May 2nd, and today, May the 9th. I'll probably skim through the first two, just a quick recap of them, just to be quick, and because some of them have bits that are like limited time, like Iron Banner. Don't need to talk about Iron Banner anymore. It's over. But just to cover those real quick, especially and as well, you know, more people have heard about that already. So to start right off with the April 25th blog article, we got some new trailers about some broad plot details of the final shape, especially regarding Cade, and a little bit of where he fits in this whole thing. We got some footage of the new Darkness faction, the Dread, with various individual clips from Bungie in the Pale Heart regarding the Strand characters, the Harbinger and the Weaver, the new melee enemy, the Husk, a new flying enemy, the Grim, which is the first flying enemy in Destiny to have actual wings, and those will all be... There's not a video linked in this blog for the... I believe the Omen and the Attendant, which are the stasis versions of the new Scions and Subjugators. I guess that's just not linked here. But those are all the Dread classes that they featured. There's some nice desktop and mobile wallpapers from that story video. The main big chunk of info that we got from this blog article was a power update. So they're introducing a system of fireteam power. So essentially, in all activities that are... that have a power requirements with stuff like nightfalls and harder raids and things like that, any group of people will be able to do those activities at a far reduced cost, because everyone in the fire team will have their power boosted to at least 5 under the power leader, quote unquote, the power leader's power level. So if you're doing, say, in the blog article, they have an example of a 2005 power expert raid, and the power leader is 2000 power. And so even though the person's two fire team members are way under that, though, they both get boosted to 1995, 5 under that 2000 power. So it should make a whole lot of activities not only more approachable for a lot of people, but also just reducing the grind in general by a whole lot. And you can kind of get like lifted along by your friends that maybe have played a little more or just gotten more lucky in their drops. You know how it can be. The side effect of this new power system coming into effect is removing power limits from legacy gear, effectively unsunsetting the sunsetting that Bungie did to a lot of the older weapons when Beyond Light released in 2020. So the article says, one problem Bungie encountered when designing Fireteam power was the power limits found on older gear items. You might have noticed, as you read about Fireteam power, that the adjusted power shared by the power leader would sidestep the caps on old power-limited items, making it possible to ignore them. After thoroughly considering the problem space, we came to the decision to remove power limits from all items starting in the final shape. Always being able to play with your friends was a huge goal for us. As they close out the Light and Darkness saga, we want to rally all Guardians, active, returning, and new, to help fight the Witness. And there is no better way to play Destiny than with your fire team. As we pursued this goal, it became apparent that power limits were fundamentally incompatible with fire team power. Understandably, quite a few people were happy about this change, being able to use their old stuff, but a lot of people were also a little frustrated having deleted a lot of their old sunset gear, because, you know, it was never going to be usable again. Why keep it? And they're kind of just ignoring that. And indeed, they go on to say they understand that many old power limited items have been dismantled by this point, and Bungie regrets that they have no recovery mechanism for these. Going forward, they intend to reintroduce sources for most or all of these weapons, updated to modern Destiny sandbox standards with added properties such as origin traits and build crafting perks, as they have started to do with the Brave Arsenal weapons that came back with Into the Light. There's a small section about the power band updates, so just a routine thing with every expansion. The power floor is being raised from 1600 to 1900, The soft cap is being raised from, I believe it's 1750 currently to 1940. The powerful cap will be 1990, and the hard cap or the pinnacle cap will be 2000. They also touched on activity power. So you'll have two classes of activities, essentially power disabled and power enabled. Power disabled is pretty much anything you can do now that you don't really have to worry about power levels. So stuff like patrols, crucible, campaign missions, seasonal stories, stuff like that. And then power enabled activities are anything where your power has an effect. So they have various activity tiers now of difficulty. So there's standard, which is 1945 power. So that's things like regular strikes, seasonal activities, exotic missions, raids and dungeons. Advanced, which is what's now called hero, will be 1995 power. And so that's pretty much just Nightfalls only have that like basic tier. Legend difficulty is now called expert at 2005 power, which is Nightfalls, Lost Sectors, seasonal activities and exotic missions. Master power will now be 2010 power, which will be featured in, again, Nightfalls, Lost Sectors, but then also Master, Raids, and Dungeons. Grandmaster will be 2020 power, featured only in Nightfalls, of course. That's kind of their staple thing. And then finally, contest mode will be 1965 power. Obviously, again, only featured in the new Final Shape raid for the first 2 days. Artifact bonus power will be tweaked, essentially just to rebalance it around the XP requirements coming into the new, I guess not a season pass because it's an episode, but which is with how the new XP system works and with how longer the episodes are going to be over the current seasons. A couple other big things from this article, account-wide power is happening. So starting in the Final Shape, the gear rewards you earn on any character will drop with a power level relative to the highest power character on your account. So you can level up the power of your hunter, and when you switch over to your Titan or Warlock, the gear rewards you earn will be around your hunter's level. The exact power of rewards, of course, still depend on the source, but the power you earn on one character will positively influence rewards you find on other characters. Because cross-character power progression is now intrinsic to the game, power boosts are no longer offered for sale. Campaign skips will still be available for all characters, and all of these changes aim to make switching between characters and classes easier than ever before, so try something new and put on that mark/cloak/bond for the first time. This has been something that people have been asking for a really, really long time, as far as I'm aware, having to grind all three of your different characters to the max power every like year has been a little annoying, but that will alleviate a lot of that pain, so good news on that front. They're increasing the reward power of pretty much every activity in the game. Everything, so a lot of stuff like ritual playlists currently has had chances of dropping a powerful reward with +1 power for players between the soft cap and the powerful cap. In the Final Shape, they're extending that beyond those select activities to just about every reward source in Destiny 2. This change will help players gradually reach the powerful cap no matter what activities they choose to play, so you aren't just limited to the weekly available powerful rewards. Additionally, they're improving the power of rewards you purchase from vendors and collections. All items purchased from vendors will now drop no lower than 3 below your highest possible power, and items reacquired from collections will be 5 below instead of all the way down at the power floor. So now there's practically no downside to pulling weapons and things from collections. Not that that happens very often, but you know, say there's a ritual weapon like an adored you want to pull from your vault. You haven't played it in a while, but you kind of want to try it out. You can pull that straight from collections, and you don't have to worry about infusing it or anything to make it available to use immediately. There's some introductory stuff about the Pantheon, which is obviously already live for about a week and a half now. They introduced the hardware modifier, which is currently live in Crucible Labs in the Hardware Supremacy playlist. It disables all abilities, including movement abilities, besides the regular jumps. Heavy and special ammo comes from crates, and of course pick up the crests in Supremacy. And they're going to pay special attention to how the feedback is received from the hardware playlist. So if you play it, do give some feedback on the forums and whatever other social spaces they're on. Get your word in if you have a strong opinion, and they'll be closely monitoring that space. As I mentioned at the beginning, last chance to earn Iron Banner rewards. That's obviously out of date now because that already happened. Iron Banner was last week. The cosplay Cosmodrome has returned after a first edition of it focused on Savathun. The second installment is getting the each in the second installment, each participant will get the chance to create a cosplay for a specific Destiny 2 character. Their lineup of cosplayers is top notch, and you can meet them all while you learn more about Cosplay Cosmodrome in the article we published yesterday, I guess April 24th. And if you want to cosplay yourself, check out their latest reference kit for The Witness itself. And they have a link in the blog article there regarding that extra info. With Into the Light, or I guess maybe a week or two after Into the Light dropped, we got a couple bonus quests guiding us to find Archie, the Exo dog that's been hanging out near Ada. He's apparently getting himself lost in various places, and we've had to go find him and retrieve him from whatever trouble he's gotten into. But if you have completed the triumph from Into the Light for finding him at least once, there's an Archie plush available for purchase from the Bungie store. Or I guess again, because I think it was available back when Seraph Shield released. But you can buy that again now if you've earned that triumph until June 3rd. And I'll skip the known issues and the movie of the week, artist of the week for these two older ones, just because it's kind of redundant for the next blog. So indeed, moving on to the next blog article from May 2nd, they have a couple of topics. The PvP map pack launched on May 7th with the Europa map Eventide Labs, the Neomuna map Cirrus Plaza, and the terraformed Pyramid map Dissonance. Along with that map pack launching, they also got Relict, a well-known Destiny 2 community artist who has done a lot of call-out maps for many Crucible maps in the past, also partnered with Bungie to re-release the call-out maps for these new maps before they actually officially released in game. So check those out in the blog if you are interested in getting more familiar with those maps. There's some boss profiles, essentially just little like lore tidbits surrounding the bosses featured in Pantheon. So there's stuff about Golgoroth, the Caretaker, Aatrax, and Zoark, the Explicator in the Planets Encounter of Ron. Just a lot of miscellaneous, basically just fun facts. There's some Bungie rewards for the Pantheon. If you get the God Slayer title, you'll get a pin, and there's a raid ring available to earn, which is essentially a cooler version of their first raid ring that came out in 2020. It's just the iconic raid icon with a skull, with a sword, and like the chain around it. Very cool looking ring. Two big things from this blog article is coming up. There will be a reward track for Rahul in the tower. And the article says, the experience of grinding out new exotic armor can be a time-consuming process. It can take quite a few runs to get the drop you're looking for, and many more to get one that has stats that support your build. Besides that, with exotic armor pieces often forming the backbone of a powerful build, new players are regularly asked to spend a long time tackling challenging content solo before being able to run builds that support the most effective tactics. Luckily, the Econ team has established a good working relationship with the tower's number one Cryptarch over the last year as they added exotic armor focusing, and they've managed to help Rahul set up a new promotional program of sorts that makes farming the armor you want more deterministic and less dependent on rotators. So, starting in the final shape, Rahul is going to be the source for any new exotic armor that we release. So previously, with like the Witch Queen and Lightfall, you'd complete the Legendary campaign, and you would get to pick one of the two new exotic armor pieces essentially for free as a campaign reward, and then you could get the other one from Lost Sectors. So now those will come from Rahul. When you first talk to Rahul after the final shape launch, he will introduce you to a new rewards program tied to his brand new reputation track. The idea is simple. The more you decode engrams with him, the more you increase your reputation with him. Once you completely fill the reputation track once and reset your rank, Rahul will allow you into an elite club, giving you access to a new tier of focusing. Once you become one of Rahul's engram insiders, as they're called, as they've alliterated it, I didn't even notice that a week ago. Fun little name. You'll be able to purchase any piece of exotic armor for any character on your account for one exotic engram and one exotic cipher, in addition to the previous focusing options. Because this is tied to Rahul's new reputation track, there is no weekly limit to using this tier of focusing. As long as you still have exotic ciphers and engrams, you can keep rolling armor. With this change, Bungie is also altering the way that the old sources of exotic armor work. First, Lost Sectors will keep the same drop rates for exotics, but will instead drop engrams whenever they would have previously dropped gear, which raises the question of whether there'll be like a daily focus for them now, because in the current system, every Lost Sector will drop like a slot of armor a day. So like in any given day, a Lost Sector will like only drop helmets. But if they're dropping engrams, it might just be whatever the Lost Sector is instead of having to wait around for a specific slot, which could be good. But anyway, Neomuna will also still drop new exotic armor when you complete Avex Strikeforce, but they won't be adding any more new armor to the drop list after Season of the Wish. So pretty much every exotic armor that's in the game now is all that you will get from Terminal Overload. Or not Terminal Overload, Vex Strikeforce. So the loot pool as it is now is as it will be in perpetuity as far as we are concerned. And so with the changes, Punchy knows we are wondering, how long will it take to get this newfangled tier of focusing? I got the world's first race to prepare for. Without going into the exact numbers, the actions that will give the most reputation will be precision decryption, or tier 2 focusing, followed by advanced decryption, then opening an exotic engram, and last, but also least, opening a prime engram. So if you want to be ready for the Witness's forces as soon as possible, make sure to stock up on engrams and ascendant shards before June 4th, as with its little more than a full stock of exotic engrams, you'll be able to start focusing new armor. And then the next big thing is a long-awaited revamp to the shader icons. With the final shape, we're upgrading the look of and design of the shader icon layout. Shaders are a core way a player can provide a unique look and feel to their guardian, and we wanted to help continue to make that a better experience. Our goal with this update was to help make the shader icons more accurately reflect the colors and textures they will apply. And so for those of you who don't quite know how the shader system works in the game, they go into it a bit. Currently, there are some issues that can make the experience of applying a shader inconsistent. The first being that while each shader applies 6 colors, only 4 are currently shown on the shader icon. This can sometimes result in the shader appearing differently than players may expect from the preview. This has happened probably most prominently with the Jacarina shader from Season of Arrivals. The shader icon itself is largely black with like one section of white, but it also contains a very distinct like cyan blue on a lot of things, especially weapons, and people were understandably not happy about it. And adding to that is the fact that all 4 color sections of the current shader icon are equal in shape and size, making it difficult to distinguish what the main colors will be when applied. There are also many shaders that have unique glows that players strive for, and with the current design, they are not represented. And so Gambit Jadestone is what they've selected as a great example for this. And they show a very high resolution version of Gambit Jadestone, which has its like white and green sections in full prominence, as well as the patterns you can see on them. To help address these issues, we've made updates to the shader icon design that includes all 6 colors for that shader. We are also changing the design in a way that makes the primary colors appear to take more space than the secondary colors for a more accurate representation with most gear items. Glows are also reflected in the updated design, so it will be easier to distinguish those shaders within your shader selection screens. And so they have shown us also very high resolution version of the new Gambit Jadestone icon, which features its essentially you have the 4 triangles on the sides of the square like you did previously, but in addition, there's a section right in the middle. It's a diamond, and that diamond will have the 2 like most prominent colors of that shader, as well as the tips of that diamond featuring the glow colors of that shader. So looks very cool. Hopefully, and they have another screenshot as well showing a lot of new shader icons. Like they're in the appearance customization list, and you can see like 30 of them. They all look very nice. Should be pretty interesting to toy around with for any fashion people. And indeed, Bungie hopes the new improvements will offer a better experience for Guardians looking to show off their best looks. Then there's an update from the PvP strike team regarding the current special ammo distribution systems. So for a long time, or at least the past year, they've sort of toyed with various different methods of gaining special ammo. So there's the respawn system, which has been the longest lasting system of essentially you die and you get 2 ammo, and then you drop it when you die. There's the meter system that they've very recently introduced with Checkmate and has now been brought into more game modes, as well as the crate system, which is it's essentially the old system from Destiny 1. And all of these systems have various issues. And so their current solution is that they've blended all of these systems into what they're calling the 1-1-1 system, taking the parts of each of the systems and combining them to solve the problems introduced by each individual system. So the first part, players will respawn each life with 1 kill worth of special ammo for their chosen weapon. This serves as a stopgap for players to make sure they are never going long amounts of time with an empty weapon and encourages players to continue to utilize special weapons, albeit in a limited fashion. Setting the ammo at 1 instead of 2 kills worth ensures that there is not a surplus of special ammo that is available for minimum effort. Spawning with 1 also functions as a healthy midpoint between spawning with none in the crate system and retaining all ammo with the meter. Second, all primary weapon kills will drop a personal ammo brick that awards 1 kill's worth of special. This is our deterministic, earnable method of distributing ammo in the blended system until our purpose-built version of the ammo meter is ready. What this means is that any of your final blows with a primary weapon will drop an ammo brick that only you can pick up, regardless of whether the opponent you defeated has special ammo on them. Likewise, if you defeat a player who has special ammo using a special ammo weapon, that will not drop a brick on the ground, so like the meter system, you cannot use special to directly earn more special. We will be initially introducing this specific portion of the system into the competitive playlist starting next week, which would be now, to help address player complaints about the economy in those modes. And finally, special ammo crates will continue to exist, but their icon visibility range on the HUD has been decreased, and they will only provide a single kill's worth of special when opened. These crates will continue to serve as points of interest for around a map, but it will no longer be a requirement for players to interact with them to partake in the special system. They will instead function as a small bonus for players who take the time to engage with them, and an optional midpoint step for players to gain special ammo that is more effort than simply respawning, but less effort than gaining an actual primary kill. They're very excited to introduce this system sometime after the launch of the final shape, and Bungie greatly appreciates your patience and feedback as they've continued experimenting in their ongoing effort to improve the Crucible. And then a final note from that article, with all of the Brave weapons being available as of last week, the Super Black Shader is available from collecting all of the Brave weapons and maxing out your rank with Jack. So you can go get that if you haven't already. Again, skipping the featured art and the known issues from that article, we move on to the present day with the May 9th TWID article, which also has some good goodies in it. All right, so this week in Destiny, May the 9th, 2024, Bungie is talking a bit more about exotic class items. We announced them along with the Prismatic subclass, and it's time we tell you more about this groundbreaking addition to D2, and that's just our first topic for the week. So this blog article will cover more info about the exotic class items, a new boss profile for the Pantheon, as featured a blog or two ago, an introduction of the Red Border Weapons Bonanza, the coverage of Zero Hour arriving next week, a new trailer for the new PvP maps, open access to the Destiny 2 expansions from now until Final Shape, the 10th anniversary return of the Gauntlet, and a little talk about the about May being the AANHPI Heritage Month, which we'll cover at the end of the blog. So to begin, let's go over class items. So this morning, Bungie shared some amazing videos showcasing the Prismatic subclass coming with the Final Shape, and they have them all linked here. You can go watch them on their official YouTube channel or like Twitter or whatever. Just a little bit of extra gameplay besides what we saw already more a little earlier on. So just, you know, a little bit more refined with the UI and whatnot regarding how all of the Prismatic subclasses will play. And so as you can see, you will not only have the new aspects and fragments coming with Prismatic, but you will also get to further expand your options with the new exotic class items. These are very special additions to Destiny 2, as each exotic class item will have two random exotic perks from a selection of existing exotic armor perks, including some that belong to classes other than yours. So how do you earn them is been the big question on for everyone. So the exotic class items will be part of a new activity that unlocks after the raid world first at the beginning of week 2. This is some interesting wording because hopefully the raid world first doesn't last until week 2. But also, again, it's not immediately week 2. So a little bit of not quite sure when it'll exactly release. A lot of people think it'll just come out right after the raid is beaten. Bungie doesn't want to spoil what the activity is or how to unlock it, but they will say it's farmable and you'll get a guaranteed random roll each time you complete it. So good news in that front. So how many exotic perks do these things have? Similar to how Prismatic has a selection of abilities among all Light and Darkness classes, the exotic class items in the Final Shape will have a mix of exotic armor perks available for each class. We included some fan favorites as well as some perks that aligned with the Prismatic abilities and aspects. We also chose to put perks in each column that would compound with each other, allowing for combinations that felt powerful and complementary, such as a Warlock bond with the Spirit of Apotheosis and the Spirit of the Star Eater. Prismatic is all about combining effects that used to belong to specific subclasses, and we wanted to bring that design of the exotic class items too. So, in many cases, we have adjusted the perks to work with a broader array of abilities. For example, the Spirit of Caliban on the Hunter Cloak works with all power melees, not just Proximity Knife. To keep things balanced, we have narrowed some of the perk effects to what we believe the Spirit of, get it, the original exotic was. This allows the combination of two of them to not be overwhelming, and it maintains a reason to run the original exotic armor. When a perk on the class item has the same effect as its original version, you should expect some tuning changes. For example, in the final shape, the original Armamentarium and Six Coyote will gain the ability to create orbs of light from your grenade and dodge respectively, in addition to what they do now. So check out all the possible combos below. So they have given to us the full list of the 16 available perks on each of the exotic class items. The first three in each column are common between all three of the classes. So in the first column, we have Spirit of the Assassin from Assassin's Cal, finishers and powered melee kills given visibility. Spirit of the Inmost Light from Heart of Inmost Light, using an ability empowered the other two, granting them improved regeneration. And Spirit of the Ophidian from Ophidian Aspect, weapons ready very quickly. In the second column, Spirit of the Star Eater from Hunter Star Eater Scales. When your super energy is full, picking up an orb of power overcharges your super, granting it bonus damage. Spirit of the Syntheseps from Titan, improved melee damage when you're surrounded. And Spirit of Verity from Warlock Verity's Brow, weapon final blows with the damage type matching your grenade, grant a stacking grenade damage bonus. So those are the six perks that are common between all the classes. And then each class has, five unique perks per column, depending on the class. So Hunter has perks. I'm not going to go into all of them just because it might take too much time. Hunter will have perks from Dragon Shadow, Shards of Galanor, Foe Tracer, Caliban's Hand, and Renewal Grasp. And then the second column, stuff from Seer Tarakini's Facade, Gyre Falcon's Hauberk, Liar's Handshake, Warm Husk Crown, and Sixth Coyote. Titan will get exotic perks from Severance Enclosure, Hoarfrost Z, Eternal Warrior, Abeyant Leap, Ursa Furiosa, Point Contact Cannon Brace, Precious Scars, Kepri's Horn, Crest of Alpha Lupi, and Armamentarium. And then finally, Warlocks will get perks from The Stag, Secant Filaments, Necrotic Grips, Osmiomancy Gloves, Apotheosis Veil, Vesper of Radius, Mantle of Battle Harmony, Starfire Protocol, Swarmers, and Claws of Ahamkara. And as we've known previously, all of these exotic class item perks will only work when you have Prismatic equipped. Bungie knew they couldn't fit everyone's favorite perks into these without making the pools of available roles too large. It was a balancing act to support lots of exciting options while also making it reasonable to chase a specific combination. However, we are also making a set of exotic armor balance adjustments with the launch of the final shape, including some buffs that will impact both the original armor and its spirit version. So, some of the class item perk combinations might end up being better than you expect. We'll have more to share about exotic armor balance in general in the coming weeks. Bungie hopes the amazing combinations the new exotic class items will allow when using Prismatic have ignited our imagination, and we're already wondering what builds will work best when the final shape arrives. Let them know, and please share your early build ideas with them. So there's another additional lore profile about the new Pantheon boss, Oryx. As I mentioned in the other blog, just a whole bunch of fun tidbits and lore facts. Next big thing, the Red Border Bonanza, as they've called it. In a similar fashion to what Bungie did last year, players who have not earned enough deep sight weapons to unlock the patterns of Year 6 seasonal weapons now have the chance to catch up before Final Shape launches. Every day, from May 7th, this past Tuesday, through June 3rd, players will get a guaranteed deep sight weapon drop upon completion of a seasonal activity. So if you still have not unlocked the pattern for, let's say, the Raycon Turbo from Season of Defiance, you can complete a Defiant Battleground to receive a deep sight drop of that very weapon. You'll get another the day after, and another the day after that one, and so on until you have completed the pattern. Don't worry much if you have more than one. If you keep playing, our knockout system will ensure you'll only get drops for those weapons. So, what activities can you play from each season to get these awesome rewards? So, from Season of Defiance, you can play Defiant Battlegrounds and the Exotic Avalon mission with Vexcalibur. From Season of the Deep, you can play Deep Dives or Salvage. From Season of the Witch, you can play the Summoning Pools or Seventh Dune Spire. And from Season of the Witch, you can do Riven's Lair or Coil. Next up, the Return of Zero Hour, the Outbreak mission. First came the Whisper, then it was Zero Hour. The second ever Destiny 2 Secret Exotic Mission is coming back on May 14th. You'll be able to find it in Into the Light node in the Director, and it has a few surprises up its sleeve. Those capable enough to complete it before their time runs out, 40 minutes on Normal and 20 minutes on Legend, just like with Whisper, will get the new craftable version of Outbreak Perfected. Find some of the secret chests available each week to also unlock new additional perks for it. If you are looking for its exotic catalyst, you'll have to complete Zero Hour on Legend, but remember that if you got the catalyst for the original, you won't have to earn it again. That said, you will still want to do it to get the weekly triumphs required to unlock the new exotic ship. And with the return of Zero Hour also brings the return of Trevor. So, do you remember Trevor, the overly attached robot that kept the Cryptarchy's vault safe in Zero Hour? It was impossible to miss. So much joy, so many wonderful memories. Well, great news, everyone, he'll be back too. To celebrate his timely return, we would love it if you all shared your best moments with him. Well-scripted videos, funny screenshots, fan art, comics, musical numbers, it's all on the table. And if this is your first time meeting him, we can't wait to see your experiences. Don't forget to use the hashtag MyFriendTrevor hashtag when sharing it on social media so we can see your creations and maybe pick a few to share in the future. Our favorite submissions could get the Art of the Week or Movie of the Week emblems from being featured in future blogs. And in case it wasn't clear, that is hashtag MyFriendTrevor, with Trevor being TR3VR, is like the fun abbreviated name they've given him. They have a map of, or they, sorry, they have a trailer for the three new Crucible maps they released this week. If you haven't played them already, I strongly suggest you should pick up the quest from Shax, go into the new territory playlist in Crucible. You can get to essentially get a tailored experience of all three of those maps with various 3v3 modes. And a big thing they've come out with this past week, it is now a great time to jump into Destiny 2. In anticipation of our battle with the Witness, Bungie wants everyone to be ready, and they really mean it. Starting May 7th and running through June 3rd, we have launched the Destiny 2 Expansion Open Access Period. During those 28 days, so essentially just the rest of this month, the following contents will be available to all players. Shadowkeep, Beyond Light, Witch Queen, and all four of the seasons from this past year since Lightfall. PlayStation Plus members can also claim Lightfall itself, which will be available up until June 3rd. No matter what expansion you play, all the rewards you earn during this period are yours to keep forever, no matter if they are exotics, raid weapons, or high-stat legendaries. And that's not all. When the final ship launches on June 4th, the campaigns for Shadowkeep and Beyond Light, along with Stasis, will remain available to all players at no additional cost. If you are looking to get everything else that the Shadowkeep and Beyond Light expansions have to offer beyond the campaigns, we will have two packs at your disposal, similar to the Forsaken pack. So the Shadowkeep pack grants access to 13 exotic weapons, 3 exotic armor pieces, the Scarlet Keep Nightfall, the Pit of Heresy Dungeon, and the Garden of Salvation Raid. And the Beyond Light pack grants access to 12 exotic weapons, 6 armor pieces, the Glassway and Proving Grounds Nightfalls, and the Deepstone Crypt Raid. Once the final shape is live, Bungie will also launch a new pack called the Destiny 2 Legacy Collection 2024. This pack will give you access to some of the best content Destiny has to offer, and it's pretty much just all of the expansions up until this point. So the Forsaken pack, the Shadowkeep pack, the Beyond Light pack, the 30th Anniversary pack, the Witch Queen, and Lightfall. Next up, the Gauntlet is returning for its 10th anniversary. On May 19th, Team Bungie will compete in The Gauntlet, a charity tournament of tabletop games amongst game industry professionals, all in support of our longtime partner, Gamers Engaged. How can you help us shine triumphant and take home the trophy again? Donate to grant our team power-ups on the day of the competition. Not only that, but by contributing, you can earn one of three awesome incentives. For a $25 donation, you can get the Shine Triumphant emblem never before released. Emblems will be sent via code after the close of the campaign on May 19th. Expect your code by the end of the month. For a $100 donation, you can get programmer art. It says take home your very own non-expert art, hand-drawn by the Bungie team. While our art skills may be mid at best, it's the effort and heart that really count. Donors who select this incentive will submit a small photo of themselves or their pet that they would like us to recreate by hand. They are not artists, but they'll give it their all. Each piece will be signed and numbered. And finally, for a $500 donation, you can earn a Destiny 2 gameplay session with Bungie. Join their fire team for a memorable gaming experience that you will never forget. Team up with us for an hour and chat with the team about whatever your heart desires. Except spoilers. There will be no spoilers. Head over to https://bit.ly bung.ie/gauntlet now to learn more about the competition, find out the work that Gamers Engage does, and support the campaign. Don't forget to tune into the live stream of the competition on May 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific. Next up, May is the Asian American and Native Hawaiian / Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and the Asians at Bungie Employee Resource Group is celebrating with the Stand With Asians collectible pin and accompanying Harmonic Waves emblem. Last year, Guardians raised an incredible $163,385 for International Community Health Services, or ICHS, a nonprofit healthcare organization based in Seattle and a leading voice in challenging anti-Asian hate. During the month of May, for each purchase of the Stand With Asians pin during the month of May, $7 will be donated to ICHS. Your donations will fund free and low-cost health services for uninsured or underinsured ICHS patients who would otherwise be unable to afford them. A little bit more about Asians at Bungie. It was founded at the end of 2021 in response to rising discrimination and violence against AANHPI communities. Their mission is to uplift their fellow AANHPI employees, to provide Bungie diverse insight into AANHPI cultures, and to support local AANHPI communities. And a little bit more about ICHS. It was formed in 1973 by young Asian American activists with the goal of disrupting systemic racism that denied healthcare to Asian immigrant communities. Today, ICHS remains deeply rooted in the Asian Pacific Islander community and continues to provide culturally and linguistically appropriate health services in more than 70 languages. This has significantly improved the wellness of King County's diverse people and communities, regardless of patients' ability to pay. And King County, I believe, is where Bungie is based in Washington. We invite all allies to support the AANHPI communities by purchasing the Stand With Asians pin, which also comes with the Harmonic Waves emblem. You can purchase the pin at both the Bungie store and the EU Bungie store. The Harmonic Waves emblem will also be available with a $10 donation through the Bungie Foundation, with a link to that in the blog. All donations received in May will support ICHS. Finally, at the end of this blog, we have the player support report of known issues. The first thing is the Making the Rounds Triumph that came out with Into the Light. While all of the information directly related to the Brave Weapon quest is now available, the Making the Rounds Triumph is not able to be completed yet. Players will be directed to speak to Shax during the last week of Into the Light. There's an issue with the Risky Archery emote. It has been temporarily changed to use a different animation because of it, and once the issue is fixed, it will return to its appropriate animation. And big thing, privacy or player privacy and safety update. As mentioned in our recent March 14th TWID, we are continuing with our efforts to ensure player privacy and safety online in Destiny 2. Our goal is to provide age-appropriate experiences to all our players and give the adults responsible for our younger players a way to tailor those players' experience. If you haven't already, please visit Bungie.net or use the prompt after launching Destiny 2 to update your date of birth. And part of that is parental controls. In May, parents, guardians, and other responsible adults will be able to adjust their child's Destiny 2 settings. To set up parental controls, both the child and their adult will need a Bungie.net account, and we will need to verify that the person providing consent and setting controls is an adult. We have created a parental controls help article, which they've linked, with details explaining how to create an account and link it up to their child. They're also updating their privacy policy on May 14th, this next Tuesday. Please visit Bungie.net to create or manage your account and set your preferences today. Only a couple known issues this week. Players are not receiving rewards from one of the secret chests in the Shadow Throne dungeon, and the Spanish version of Revision Zero's exotic perk description is displaying incorrectly. And so finally, we have the Artist of the Week and the Movie of the Week. The Artist of the Week is from a fellow named Heinz Art on Twitter/X. It is a 3D render of the dog Archie with a bowl of ramen on his head. It looks very silly. And the Movie of the Week is actually a sort of two-parter. It is a miraculous failing of a fire team going to fight a boss in Onslaught, all dying during the short jumping section before the final boss room with two point of views. Congratulations to this week's winners. Please don't forget to add the Bungie IDs of everyone who helped with your creation so we can grant the special emblems. And finally, they wrap up. Bungie hopes that was enough to get your brains working on what builds will be fun when you combine the perfect exotic class item roll with prismatic abilities. And we ain't done yet. We still have more in store to share in these final weeks leading into the final shape on June 4th. Want a hint? We'll talk about weapon tuning in a standalone article next Wednesday. Until then, how about some Onslaught? From the Destiny 2 community team. And with that being all from them, that will be all from me. That was quite a lot of info, quite a lot to talk about. I know My throat is getting sore from all of this talk, so I will leave all of you to it. I hope you have enjoyed this episode, getting caught up with recent events. Hopefully, now that I don't have much school to worry about, these episodes will be more reliably frequent in terms of when they come out. So have a good one, everyone, and I will see you next time.